Hey everyone, what's going on? Welcome to a brand new review on the Sam Bissell podcast on the Ambiguous Podcast Solutions. And right now I'm going to be doing a review for the brand new Mission Impossible film, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1, which stars Tom Cruise, Hayley Atwell, Simon Pegg, Rebecca Ferguson, Vin Rames, Simon Pegg, Cy Morales, Pom Clemente, and was directed by Christopher McQuarrie.
Our lives are the sum of our choices. And we cannot escape the past. Ethan, this mission of yours is gonna cost you dearly.
Now again, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1 sees Tom Cruise return in the role as Ethan Hunt, whose IMF team matches up with a powerful rogue AI known as the Entity. And that is the basic synopsis for this seventh installment in what is considered to be possibly one of, if not the greatest action franchises of all time. And the reason for that is over the past decade or so, really ever since the fourth Mission Impossible film, Ghost Protocol, came out in theaters, each of these films just somehow has been able to get better and better and better in terms of the action, the characters, the story. And a lot of that has to do, I think, especially over the previous two installments, with the pairing of both Christopher McQuarrie, who was a frequent collaborator alongside Tom Cruise over the years. They've worked on films like Edge of Tomorrow, Valkyrie, the Jack Reacher films. You can name really the last decade plus of Tom Cruise's career. You can see Christopher McQuarrie's name attached in some way, shape, or form, whether it's as a writer or as a director. And the last two Mission Impossible films, Rogue Nation and Fallout, have to me been some of the best action films, Mission Impossible films, overall films in the specific years that they have come out. And to me, Fallout is my favorite film within this franchise so far. So for me, I was really looking forward to this movie. It was my second most anticipated film of the year overall. The only film that came close to being number one was the new Nolan film. And you know me as a big Nolan head, nothing was going to take that as number one. So Mission Impossible had to fall down at the two spot. But I was really looking forward to this. The trailers have looked amazing for this film. The characters have looked really interesting. I love the cast for this one. They get an A-list performance list once again from this cast. And so I was really looking forward to this film. And so going into it, I was hoping to be entertained and enthralled. And I'm happy to report that this is exactly what I wanted a Mission Impossible film to be. And just once again, somehow continues to elevate this franchise to standards that you don't think is possible, but somehow Tom Cruise, McQuarrie, the cast, the crew, everyone involved in this franchise just continue to defy the odds and just create new and entertaining ways to enthrall us within this franchise. Now, this isn't my favorite film of the Mission Impossible franchise, and that to me is just because of the bar that is set between the other films that have come over the last couple of years. But I think with maybe more watches, this could go up on the list. But to me, this is still top three. Mission Impossible falls right there at the number three spot. Fallout's number one. Rogue Nation is number two for me right now, but this one still falls really nicely on the top of the list. It just, again, what McQuarrie and Cruise are able to do just with the action overall is just incredible. And you have the iconic moments that you see in the trailer, of course, the motorcycle jumping off the cliff, which is the first thing they shot day one all the way back in 2020 when they first started working on these films, as this is, as you can guess by the title of this film, Dead Reckoning Part 1, a part 1 of Part 2 that is set to come as of right now next year. But I think when you look at what this film was able to do just with the action, and you see the train sequence and some of the other things you see in the trailers, to me it's some of the other action sequences that aren't featured in the trailer that really, really work. And not to get into any details of what actually goes on, but in the beginning of the movie, I would say about 30 to 40 minutes in, there's this Abu Dhabi sequence that happens, which to me, there isn't the flashy action that we see, but it just is able to build on great suspense, and it keeps you on the edge of your seat, wanting to know what's going to happen, what's going to happen in this corner, what's going to happen in this corner. And I think it does a great job and showcases the style of what Christopher McQuarrie is able to do, both as a director and as a writer, and the confidence that he has in these characters and the trust he has in the audience of you being able to follow all these different subplots happening within this one sequence going on. And it really, again, had me on the edge of my seat. It was thrilling. It pushed the story forward, and it really showcased how you care for these characters, but also introducing you to new characters that you slowly start to learn more about and care about at the same exact time. So to me, the Abu Dhabi sequence was awesome. And then one sequence that is showcased in the trailer, but doesn't really even come close to doing it justice, is that entire Rome sequence where you have Haley Atwell's Grace and Tom Cruise's Ethan kind of going in between certain cars, and you see them in the Fiat 500, the yellow Buick kind of car in the trailer. You see them handcuffed to one another, trying to escape in the streets of Rome. That whole sequence from beginning to end is absolutely amazing. And again, just goes to show how sometimes they're able to just outdo themselves with the sequences. And when you think, oh, hanging off the plane is how you're not going to be able to top that, or in the sixth one, jumping out of a plane, or somehow jumping across rooftops, that's the thing that's going to be the stopper. But no, it's jumping off a motorcycle, off of a mountain, fighting on a train, doing all these stunts. Somehow they're able to just top one another somehow, some way. So to me, the action sequences, no surprise, are just some of the best action sequences you can possibly get. And the thing about them, and they preach on this, they've done it throughout the press tour, they do it every time they talk about these films, and it's one of the things we praise about this franchise, is the authenticity and the fact that you feel these actors doing these sequences, and because you're emotionally attached to them, you want to see them making that alive. And sometimes when you see a film and directors and actors and stunt coordinators, they're able to do a great job of blending it all together, so it doesn't feel like you're seeing one person and then another sequence you're seeing something else. With this, you're able to see the authenticity, and that these are the people in the cars, these are the people on the trains, or doing this sequence, or on the rooftop here, or doing this here. You feel that. So there's one thing that I really appreciate from everyone on board with this, from the cast and crew, is that they deliver that authenticity to these characters, to the story, and to the action, to the audiences that are watching this. Another big part for me, and to kind of go to some of the characters and, to me, some of the standout performances, again, Tom Cruise does this thing as Ethan Hunt. He is just so locked into this character that, to me, you just know what he's going to bring, and he delivers in this film once again. But for me, the big standout of this film, and she's been getting a lot of praise so far, and it's very much well-deserved, is Haley Atwell as the character of Grace in this film. And to me, she is an amazing new addition to this franchise, and I think it's just, it's amazing to see what they're able to do with this character. And really, even though this is Ethan Hunt's film, Grace is kind of more of a co-star in this movie, and very much reminds me kind of the introduction of Elsa, Rebecca Ferguson's character in Mission Impossible 5, where it really is not just kind of a supporting role. She kind of becomes a co-lead in this movie specifically, and it's just as much as her story and her kind of origin into this world, alongside what we know about Ethan Hunt and the Mission Impossible Missions Task Force, really. And I just think it was a great character arc, and Haley Atwell just performs it so incredibly well. And I think this is the kind of film that you want to see her in, where she's able to deliver on the action, but the emotion, even some of the comedy as well. And throughout this film, I must say, just kind of to go a little bit on the side note before going back to the characters, there's a lot of great comedy in this one. I would have to say this is the funniest Mission Impossible film to date. And not to give anything away, but they kind of play on some of the things in this film that you would maybe kind of question or things you would say about the Mission Impossible films that they kind of play on in this film, and it works really, really well. So I think the humor in this one is really, really, really good and done very well, and it doesn't feel like it's repetitive or too much. They do a great job of balancing that very delicately and bringing the humor when it feels natural and fits into the story, into the overall film. And a lot of that does actually come from Hayley Atwell's character. So she does bring a lot of levity to her performance and to the movie overall. The chemistry between her and Tom Cruise is really well. The rest of the crew is amazing as well. And so for me, I think Hayley Atwell is very much the big star in this film alongside Tom Cruise as well. And to me, it just got me thinking, and I actually went to see this film with my family, and something that my dad brought up where he was really impressed by all the female characters, not just within the film, but really within the entirety of the Mission Impossible films. And it got me thinking as well that when you look at this film and you look at the previous couple of films, it's as much as it is about Ethan Hunt and Tom Cruise, the franchise really has become dominated by the female characters in the best way possible, and it feels so natural. I mean, again, going to Rebecca Ferguson's character in Ilsa, it's just a character that you become so fully attached to by the end of Mission Impossible 5 that when you see her in MI6 and MI7, you're really enthralled where the journey of her character takes her. Even going to something like Mission Impossible 6 with Vanessa Kirby's character in The White Widow, who does a very good job reprising her role once again in this film, another character who you get introduced to and you want to learn more about her, her past, what she's been doing, and get more time with her. And then with Grace, again, it's just an amazing character that has become one of my just overall favorite characters within the franchise. And so hopefully we get to see more of her both in part two, and if we get more Mission Impossible films down the line, hopefully if her character makes it out of these next couple of films, we get to see more of her in these franchise films overall. And I'm hoping for Hayley Atwell too, even though we know her as someone like a Peggy Carter in the Captain America films, this really gives her a great platform to showcase just how great of an actress she really is and why someone like Christopher McQuarrie was so enamored with her as a performer and wanted to showcase her skills in this kind of a film. And she does, and she takes the ball and rolls with it and does such a great job with it. So Hayley Atwell to me was really, really good as well. And then also somebody else on the side that was a brand new character that was introduced that I really liked as one of the villains in this film was Pom Clemente's Paris. And if you know Pom Clemente, you know her as the lovable Mantis in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, introduced in the Guardians of the Galaxy film. She was great in Volume 3 earlier this summer. And so to see her do a complete 180 and turn in a villainous psychopathic turn was really interesting, and I loved her in this one. And she very much reminded me kind of in the early James Bond film, specifically in Goldfinger. She very much played kind of like the odd job, the silent figure type of side villain, where you don't know what's going on in her mind really, but her facial expressions, her physical demeanor really is able to tell the story. And I think that's a whole different acting challenge that some actors are really able to take and run with. And Pom Clemente does a really good job in this film and really, I think, delivers a really underrated performance that when you see this film, I hope people come away with really appreciating what she's able to do in this movie overall. In terms of the main villain, I think Cy Morales, who if you've seen TV shows like Ozark, and if you're a fan of Criminal Minds, he's been on that before as well, to see him kind of take on this role, it was a very good villain turn, and I think his performance is very good. I just think that in terms of villains and what they're given in the story, I just think what Sean Harris did in both 5 and 6, and especially Henry Cavill in Fallout, I think they delivered better villainous turns and were given more to work with. But again, because this is a part one of a part two, I am interested to see where this character goes forth in the story overall. So I'm still feeling out this villain a little bit, but I did like the performance that Cy Morales gave in this movie overall. And then moving on to the score, I did think that Lauren Boff, who is returning from doing Mission Impossible Fallout, just delivered once again an incredible score feature in this one. I think what he's been able to do in delivering on mixing in the original theme of Mission Impossible, but also delivering his own style to the franchise is very, very good. And it just delivers on an epic scale that these films are deserved to be seen in and delivered on. And the score is a huge part, I think, in delivering on the action, the intensity. And Lauren Buff does another great job in that with Dead Reckoning Part 1. In terms of the story, I do think I want to see this one another couple of times, because to me, one of the great things about the last couple of Mission Impossible films, especially since Christopher McQuarrie came on as a writer director for these films, is that the stories have gotten complex in the best way possible, where there's these twists and turns, and even though the story itself is simple, it's the journey that you're on throughout the film where it delivers on the twists and turns of the characters and the story a little bit, that for me in this one and what these other last couple films have been able to do is that you go back and you want to see things that you might have missed. Maybe there's story elements that were hinted at in one part of the film that come to fruition towards maybe the end of the film, or in the something that happens in the first act comes to fruition in the second act. And to me, I think this was not on the par of Fallout, but I do think this was a very good story, and I think they were able to do a very good job of clearly making this its own movie, but again, leaving it off in a way that there's clearly more to tell moving forward with Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 2. But there's still some things that I want to see on second, third, maybe even a fourth viewing that I don't think will detract me from what I think of the story overall, but I think will add insight and pick things up that I did when I first saw Fallout back in 2018. When I saw it 2-3 times, it just became more and more clear. And that's what I love when I see a film like this, where it entices you to go back and repeat view on these films over and over and over again to pick things up that you didn't see beforehand. So for me, this wasn't, again, the strongest, I think, overall story. But again, I want to see how when you put part one and part two together, the entirety of that story still really interests me. But as a solo film, I do think overall, though, it was still a very good story that, again, infused some great characters, great emotion, great background history to older characters, newer characters, and the MacGuffins, I think, even made sense. And then I think what's also very interesting about the story as well is the timeliness of it, especially when we're talking about artificial intelligence and the use of robots and machines and what we think of intelligence. Really, I think, is even though the script was probably written in 2019, 2020, it's even more prevalent than probably it was even back when McQuarrie and his writing staff even first wrote the initial drafts for these movies. So to me, it was very timely what's going on right now, but it was still one that I really am excited about learning more of when we get Dead Reckoning Part 2. But overall, this was still, as of right now, my third favorite in the Mission Impossible franchise. I think this was exactly what we wanted it to be. I think as a fan base of these Mission Impossible films, as a fan of these movies, Christopher McQuarrie, Tom Cruise, everyone delivers once again. The new additions were amazing, especially from a career best turn from Hayley Atwell as Grace. I think this was an amazing performance by her. Simon Pegg, Vin Rames, always amazing to see them. The chemistry between the two of them, between them and Tom Cruise and Rebecca Ferguson, that whole team is amazing as well. Pom Clemente, I thought, was another great addition as kind of one of the side henchmen in this movie. Really is a standout and a highlight for me. But overall, I think this was one of my favorite films of the summer, one of my favorite films of the year, and definitely in the top three of my favorite Mission Impossible films of all time, which as of right now, again, it could change, I think, for the better after a couple more viewing watches. But just coming off an initial viewing of Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1, I'm going to give it an overall gray letter of an A-, which equals that to me being 9 out of 10 stars for Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1. What did you guys think of this film? If you've seen it yet, if you have not, let me know what you think about it down below in the comment section and leave your thoughts. And with that down and out of the way, that will do it for this review on the Sam Bissell podcast. Once again, everyone, thank you so much for tuning in. Be sure to check out my channel for more content. You can check me out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Radio Public, SoundCloud, and much more. Also, make sure to tune in onto the Ambiguous Podcast Solutions, and be sure to check out the other amazing shows that are on here, such as You Mad Bro, the number one source to see what the internet is pissed off about on a weekly basis. Also, make sure to check out Goal-Driven Professionals, geared toward improving client relations, return on investment, and customer acquisition costs for independent businesses and services. Also, make sure to check out The Daily Grind, a weekly motivational podcast with Kelly Johnson, giving you everyday tips and key takeaways on reaching your goals. Also, along the way, make sure to check out these other amazing shows on the Podcast Solutions, such as Wrestle Addict Radio, WrestleMania Podcast, and Midnight Showing. You can check these out and so much more on the website, AmbiguousPodcastSolutions.com, also on Facebook and Twitter at RealAmbiguous, and if you want to check out Kingdom Treehouse, use the coupon code AMBIGUOUS. Also, when you get a chance, make sure to follow me on social media. You can find me on Twitter at Bissell Samuel, that's BUSSELLSAMUEL, and also on Facebook at Sam Bissell. Once again, everyone, thank you so much for tuning into this review, and until next time, keep on screening.
Ethan, what's your objective? What's your ultimate objective?
Your life will always matter more to me than my own.
None of our lives can matter more than this mission.
I don't accept that.